Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha. This is Lana, welcoming you to another session of the Coconut Wireless, broadcasting from Station Aloha in the Pacific Northwest. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. Disturbance is coming from outside your influence. Be diligent and disentangle yourself. Be still. Do not engage. Look into all your associations and see where you have given up your power to others, or have compromised when the benefit would have been to stand firm. This is a cause of the disturbance in focus, form, and intention. You've been experiencing disquiet in the depths of your inner knowing. There have been bouts of not feeling comfortable in your skin. This has been so uncomfortable that you have had difficulty finding a comfortable place or way to sit, stand, or sleep. In these times, you will be challenged. It will get more intense. Hold steady and do not engage. Simply observe. And do not take the words and actions of others personally. Stay steady and do not engage. By doing this, you'll conserve your precious energy and the fire will burn itself out. Your thought processes and actions have been clouded by your desire for a successful outcome. This is futurizing, which has led to overthinking your situation and not living in the present. By focusing solely on correctness, fame, position, recognition, outcomes of any sort, you are missing the point. It's not that you cannot have all these things. You can, and with attention to movement with and for the greater good, you will. What is problematic is your ego's projection into the future that is preventing you from accessing your intuitive clarity. It is that clarity that will bring you to your well-deserved and worked-for success. Your call now is to be spontaneous and move with resolute confidence in who you are and what you desire. The beneficial action now is disentangling, releasing any ties that have bound you to your past influences and to outmoded ways of action and thinking. The trickster aspect of the ego would have you look into the future and see the titillating, grand, and shiny things that represent success. When you think you figured it out, the smartest, the most clever and cool ways to move toward your goal, this arrogance will lead to a disastrous outcome. Do not doubt this. The ego will tempt you to move swiftly toward your desires, come hell or high water. But it doesn't work that way. Consider the ignored part of your being, your inner and sweet child of innocence. Slow down. Do not act out of fear. You will scare yourself. Fear will have you looking to the future and trying to plan for every contingency. This would only sap your energy and ultimately prevent you from receiving the love, abundance, and happiness that awaits you. It is wise to plan and to be thoughtful, but limit those thoughts and plans to the present. In doing so, the journey will be truthful, peaceful, efficient, and more joyful. Your balance along the path is to include being of service to others and to Gaia, our Mother Earth, of oceans, deserts, mountains, plains, and all her sentient beings. This will allow you to handle whatever surprising events may come your way with a focused clarity that will enable you to act spontaneously and creatively, so you'll be able to embrace the moment. The magic is in the moment. Be free of forethought and reflection. Remember that, and it will keep you in the present. Look neither to the past nor to the future. Be here now. Now, the benefit is to walk with like-minded people, fellow pilgrims. Move away from those who suck your energy by raising doubts, fears, or envy. The ego, the critic, the inner judge, will try to sneak in while you are traveling on your path and tell you that you need to be reasonable, clever, suspicious, and, above all, to look good in others' eyes. It would have you create imaginary problems that would cause you to incorrectly evaluate the situation before you. The crux of the teaching is to remain aware and fully present. This will be found in stillness. Consciously let go of trying to get approval from others. This is the ego trying to interfere and keep you from fully appreciating the beauty and the myriad gifts of life. As you slow down and allow your childlike innocence to appreciate the beauty all around you, there will emerge a strength that you have not known before. You will find strength wrought not from pain or angst, but from peace, laughter, and joy. Take note, by combining your journey with rest and fun in proper measure, you will keep a clear mind that will be ready to handle the good, the bad, and the ugly with equanimity and poise. On this journey, listen to and act on your intuition, which will be magically amplified when you respect the importance of rest, meditation, and play. In this way, you show the ultimate respect and honor to yourself. Enjoy your day. Third eye pineal gland activation. This meditation uses the tantric solar Shiva god and lunar Shakti goddess forces to awaken the third eye and pineal gland. The point between the brows is the masculine portal to Ajna, while the medulla oblongata, where the neck meets the head, also known in Hebrew as the kof, is the feminine entrance. The pathway between the two is called the psychic bridge, leading to the third ventricle in the exact geometric center of the head, the cave of Brahma, which houses the pineal gland, the true third eye. All right, now get comfy in your chair, feet flat on the ground, hands on your lap. Slow your breathing down and touch the tip of your tongue to the roof of your mouth, right behind your front teeth. Smile inwardly, allowing the love from a gentle smile on your lips to radiate through your body like light, sending unconditional love to yourself. Visualize a shimmering golden ball of light between your brows and your forehead. This golden sun is placed at the masculine Shiva god entrance to your third eye. From this point, visualize a bridge of light that arches back into the center of your head and then down to your medulla oblongata, where your head meets your neck. Visualize a beautiful magnetic silver ball like the full moon at this feminine Shakti goddess entrance to the third eye. We are going to activate the third eye and pineal gland using these solar and lunar balls of light, drawing them into the head across the psychic bridge. See the golden ball between your brows now. And with your next in-breath, draw the ball into the center of your head, into the cave of Brahma. See it sparkling as you hold it there. Leave the ball there as you exhale. And again, breathe the solar ball along the psychic bridge. In the crystal cave, to bathe the pineal gland and leave it there, exhaling back to the brows. Breathe the sparkling solar energy into the third eye, bringing warmth and radiance to the cave. And exhale. With the golden ball in, hold it there. Inhale and exhale. And for the last time, inhale the golden light into the sacred cave, igniting the pineal gland. With this exhalation, bring your awareness to the back of your head where it meets your neck, imagining a ball of silver light there. Inhale the silver ball forward into the center of your head, feeling its magnetic lunar energy in the cave. And now leave it there as you exhale back to the medulla oblongata. Draw the silver ball into the crystal cave again with your in-breath. Feel it merging with the gold light, leaving it there as you exhale. Silver lunar ball, inhale, feel its deep drawing energy magnetizing the fluids the pineal is bathed in. And exhale. Inhale lunar magnetic energy across the psychic bridge into the cave. And exhale. And finally, as the silver ball reaches the crystal cave, this time, the gold and silver balls ignite into bright white light. Hold for as long as you like this time, experiencing your whole head filled with brilliant white light. Sit quietly. Feel the white light starting to fill your whole body. The light spills into your aura now, and you experience yourself as a being of white light, radiating your light out to the world. You are one with the cosmos. Feel your pineal, your third eye awakening, so that you become aware that everything in the universe is made of energy. You see through the delusion that our world is only what we see from a third dimensional perspective. See that we are beings of light in a world of dancing energy. Inhale with me, inhale. And exhale. Inhale. And exhale. Revisit this exercise to activate your pineal gland even more. And enjoy the experience. Namaste. When we are envious of somebody, it's because they are mirroring a place in us that doesn't feel abundant. After all, if you feel abundant, if you are overflowing, the symptom of abundance is that anybody's success makes you joyous. So if anybody's success makes you feel anything less than joyous, that's a symptom of scarcity. So if we can resist being angry and focusing on the external and really look within ourselves, we may get very valuable information about what we need to be doing to make us feel better about ourselves. Now, I want to be very clear here. The energy of the heart center has to do with giving and receiving. That means it has to do with supporting others and receiving support from others. Supporting another person doesn't mean that you support their stupidity. It doesn't even mean that you support their behavior. For example, if your kid comes to you and asks you for money to buy drugs, you don't support that behavior. But you can challenge that behavior without withdrawing your love. And this is absolutely crucial. The heart center unites. The mind divides. You may not like what someone is doing. You may even be in a position where you have to reprimand, punish, or condemn someone for what they're doing. But that is very different from withdrawing your love energy from them, withdrawing your compassion from them. From the philosophical perspective of interdependency and karma, if you hurt somebody, you will be hurt, and so you need to be prayed for. If a 4-year-old or a 3-year-old comes up to you and hits you, you don't get angry. Why? Because you've expanded beyond that 3-year-old or 4-year-old's level of consciousness. This is what we are trying to achieve in the heart center. To have the compassion, to have the breath, not to react, but to respond from a different level. This will have everything to do with your prosperity in the world. Let's take a look at this idea of self-respect now, shall we? The dismal fact is that self-respect has nothing to do with the approval of others. who are, after all, deceived easily enough. It has nothing to do with reputation, which, as Rhett Butler told Scarlett O'Hara, is something people with courage can do without. To do without self-respect, on the other hand, is to be an unwilling audience of one to an interminable documentary that deals with one's failings, both real and imagined, with fresh footage spliced in for every screening. There's the glass you broke in anger. There's the hurt on X's face. Watch now this next scene, the night Y came back from Houston. See how you muffed this one. To live without self-respect is to lie awake some night beyond the reach of warm milk, the phenobarbital, and the sleeping hand on the coverlet, counting up the sins of commissions and omissions, the trust betrayed, the promises subtly broken, the gifts irrevocably wasted through sloth or cowardice or carelessness. However long we postpone it, we eventually lie down alone in that notoriously uncomfortable bed, the one we make ourselves. Whether or not we sleep in it depends, of course, on whether or not we respect ourselves. Character. The willingness to accept responsibility for one's own life is the source from which self-respect springs. Self-respect is something that our grandparents, whether or not they had it, knew all about. They had instilled in them, young, a certain discipline, the sense that one lives by doing things one does not particularly want to do, by putting fears and doubts to one side, by weighing immediate comforts against the possibility of larger, even intangible comforts. Self-respect is a discipline, a habit of mind that can never be faked, but can be developed, trained, and coaxed forth. It was once suggested to me that, as an antidote to crying, I put my head in a paper bag. As it happens, there is a sound physiological reason, something to do with oxygen, for doing exactly that. But the psychological effect alone is incalculable. It is difficult, in the extreme, to continue fancying oneself as Kathy in Wuthering Heights with one's head in a food fair bag. There is a similar case for all the small disciplines, unimportant in themselves. Imagine maintaining any kind of swoon, commiserative or carnal, in a cold shower. To have that sense of one's intrinsic worth, which constitutes self-respect, is potentially to have everything. The ability to discriminate, to love, and to remain indifferent. To lack it is to be locked within oneself, paradoxically incapable of either love or indifference. If we don't respect ourselves, we are on the one hand forced to despise those who have so few resources as to consort with us, so little perception as to remain blind to our fatal weaknesses. And on the other, we are peculiarly in thrall to everyone we see, curiously determined to live out, since our self-image is untenable, their false notion of us. We flatter ourselves by thinking this compulsion to please others an attractive trait, a gist for imaginative empathy, evidence of our willingness to give. Of course, I will play Francesca to your Paolo, Helen Keller to anyone's Annie Sullivan. No expectation is too misplaced, no role too ludicrous. At the mercy of those we cannot but hold in contempt, we play roles doomed to failure before they even began, each defeat generating fresh despair at the urgency of divining and meeting the next demand made upon us. It is the phenomenon sometimes called alienation from self. In its advanced stages, we no longer answer the telephone because someone might want something that we could say no without drowning in self-reproach is an idea alien to this game. Every encounter demands too much, tears the nerves, drains the will, and the specter of something as small as an unanswered letter arouses such disproportionate guilt that answering it becomes out of the question. To assign unanswered letters their proper weight, to free us from the expectations of others, to give us back to ourselves, there lies the great, the singular power of self-respect. Without it, one eventually discovers the final turn of the screw. One runs away to find oneself and finds no one at home. Have a good week, everyone.